Hello, respected viewers, it's George from Ireland, so welcome to my channel. Anyway, so in this video, I'm going to comment about Joe Biden's chance in the forthcoming US presidential election. It's just about 1 year and 1 month, I think today, if I got that right. So a baker's dozens of months until Joseph Robinette Biden seeks to become the oldest president in American history. Well, again, going on till, I think if he serves a second full term, it'd be 85 by the time he steps aside. But there've been some freak polls out showing that Donald Trump in a theoretical matchup is up to 10 percentage points ahead, and it's likely that Trump will be the Republican Party's nominee, because although he's been indicted for all these 91 charges, he's lost a civil suit in New York about deliberately inflating the value of his properties and blah blah blah, and some of people his co-accused have turned against him. So it's almost certain to be convicted of at least a few crimes. The Republican Party would still go for him. He's just way ahead of Ron DeSantis. And there's just no way Ron DeSantis is going to catch him. Polls are just that. They're opinion polls. And you only asked a sample, 1,000 people, a few thousand people, ideally a representative of the whole electorate. As in, if 51% of the electorate are women, 51% that you ask are women. If 12% of the voters are African-American, 12% of those you ask are African-American. You know, if 3% of the population lives in South Carolina, for instance, then 3% of those you ask are in South Carolina, and so on. Yeah. If 11% of people are in their 30s, 11% of those you ask in their 30s, like that. There are other things that what people say in opinion poll, what they actually vote for, are not exactly the same. Opinion polls cannot be absolutely accurate. I mean, Trump saying lies, fake polls. It's not true. They were actually quite accurate. I mean, they showed Hillary Clinton winning by 4 percentage points in 2016. This is the poll of polls, when you look all the polls together and aggregate them. In fact, she won the popular vote by 2 percentage points. So, you know, slightly out, but they can't be bang on, because, of course, some people refuse to answer. Some people say they're going to vote Democrat, in fact, vote Republican. Some people say they're going to vote Republican, don't vote at all. Some people die before the election, or whatever. Some people were under 18 when you did the poll, though they've turned 18 by election day. And so forth. So, and nobody changes his or her mind at the last minute. Everybody tells the truth, because, of course, people could lie to you. There's also the sort of timid Trumpist factor. People are inclined to vote Trump, but they wouldn't admit it to a perfect stranger. Either they say, well, this person doesn't know or care who I am. I'm never going to see this person again. Same as in the conservatives voters in the UK, the timid Tory factor always slightly underrates them. And the Democrats, a bit like the Labour Party in the United Kingdom, have a problem with turnout. The polls always slightly overrate them, because some of the people who are inclined to vote for them have low motivation and don't actually vote. But you see several special elections where the Democrats have done really well. Or even when the Republicans have won, they've won by far less than before. There was a fascinating segment about this on MSNBC the other day. So that would look really good for the Democrats. Now, remember that Joe Biden, he won by 7 million votes last time. So it's not quite the largest number of votes anybody's won by, because, of course, you know, Ronald Reagan had a really landslide victory in 1980 and 84. George Bush Sr. almost landslide in 1988. You go back to very major wins like 1964 for Lyndon Baines Johnson. And there were some really very tight elections in 1968, when by the narrowest of margins, about 0.3% of the popular vote, when Richard Nixon get in. And I know it's not the popular vote that counts, as the Electoral College actually elects the president. But in almost every case, it's been the popular vote has been the same as the Electoral College. Now, I know that the two exceptions are unfortunately quite recent. 2000, when George W. Bush lost to Al Gore in the popular vote but won the Electoral College, or likewise when Donald Trump lost the popular vote by 3 million votes but won the Electoral College. Now, in the 19th century, this happened a bit more, but it was a pre-democratic era when, you know, not even all white men could vote, virtually no African-American men could vote, women couldn't vote, and so forth. Winning by 4.5 percentage points of the popular vote, but then bear in mind demographics are moving the Democrats' way. There are more Hispanic people who are more heavily Democrat inclined than whites. There are fewer whites. There are fewer churchgoers and so on who lean towards the Republicans. And then more Asian Americans, still pretty small, still under 5% of the population, but they very much lean towards the Democrats. And then the youth quake. The Democrats for decades have done better amongst people in their 20s and 30s than the Republican Party. But the generation gap is bigger than ever before. So that's a problem for the Republican Party. And obviously some of the elderly Republican voters are dying off, people in their 80s, a lot of them killed off by Trump's coronavirus policies and just not being replaced by younger people coming through. You know, are people turning 18 today? If it was a split between Republican and Democrat, something like 75% of them would go for the Democrats, 25% of them would go for the Republicans. Now, I know it's not binary because, of course, some people go for minor parties like the Greens, the Libertarian Party, Reform Party, and some people have got no political inclination. Okay, so the youth quake will help less than you might think because, of course, there's lower turnout amongst people in the late teens, early 20s. They're less politically engaged. They find it tedious. It's for old people and so on. As people get older, they have a job, they have a mortgage, they have children, and so forth. They start to care about politics a lot. I mean, someone I know, she was like that, completely uninterested and found it completely tedious when she was a teenager, but by her 30s, was enthralled to it. Well, I'm more affected by it now. Actually, we're always impacted by it, but perhaps you're not quite so cognizant of that. The abortion issue is probably going to redound to the Democrats' advantage because they want to deny children the right to life, and that's quite popular. At least 60% of Americans go for that. Obviously, there are various levels of disrespect for human life, and there are various levels of valuing it. Now, I know Republicans are, we might say, hypocritical because most of them want the death penalty, but you might say, well, come on, a serial killer surely is less worthy of life than a completely innocent baby. But the pro-death caucus is going to help the Democrats. And we've seen that in states where states have actually tried to save children, that those who want to kill children have voted for the Democrats, and the Democrats have been doing well out of that one. But there'll be also an incumbency advantage. If you actually hold the White House, you usually get re-elected something like 75% of the time. And if the economy is going well, it's not going badly. It's perhaps not a good economic situation either, but it's getting better. At 6% inflation, perhaps down to 4% by this time next year, which is almost good, might I say satisfactory. It certainly is not terrible. And economic growth continues if Ukraine wins the war or something like that. So that's why Biden could carry on. And there's if Trump is alive, because he might die of a heart attack or stroke any time, he's owed one being so morbidly obese. We know he lied about everything, lied about his height, lied about his weight. His BMI is 35. If he's not killed or incapacitated by a stroke, which might render him, you know, even more insensible than he already is, might stupefy him, as in make him unable to speak, might make him dumb, as in the sense of not able to speak as well as dumb in the other sense, then that could put pay to his political career. And if he does die of natural causes, you bet your bottom dollar, the conspiracy theorists say, oh, he was assassinated by Biden or something like that, if he's fell by a heart attack. But who would they choose if they don't have him? But anyway, his vice presidential pick is important. Who's it going to be? Yeah. Who do you think it's going to be? Nikki Haley, that's my guess. She's a woman. She's relatively youthful, makes it a balanced ticket. She's more of a moderate. She's non-white. That she will be his sort of lightning conductor against charges of racialism. Okay, so thank you so much for watching my channel. And yeah, so he could win by a landslide. I mean, just think how Obama won by 7 percentage points the first time. I don't think Biden will win by a landslide. I think he'll win, but not by a huge, so maybe 6 percentage points. And I know it's the Electoral College, which is determinative. Thank you so much for watching my channel. All right, goodbye then. Bye-bye.